Welcome back to your favorite show, my favorite show, now 100% Nazi free. This is the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your kind host, Sean, across the way, Danny. I hope you're not triggered about Nazis being punched.
No, dude, I'm like the Captain America of Nazis, you know, that the line in the movie when they reference the comic.
Hail Hydra.
Oh, Hitler, I've punched him in the face hundreds of times.
Hundreds
of times, literally.
Exactly.
I'm doing pretty good, man. Last weekend, I was living the dream.
What was the dream?
My wife was out of town. She left early Friday morning, I guess afternoon. Like, she left pretty much specifically at noon, so I don't know. I guess that would technically be afternoon because it is p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't come back till like Sunday at like...
So she came back.
2 or 3. Unfortunately, she did, yes.
Yeah, so her nightmare is still continuing.
Yes. But have you noticed she chose to come back, though? Not unlike the boomerang. their path is already determined.
Yes.
And sure. So, you know, I always get all these grandiose plans of like all these awesome things I can do while she's gone. And I end up like either being forced to like go participate in activities I don't necessarily want to, or I do things that I don't want to do or shouldn't do. Like I did this last weekend where I pretty much just laid on the couch and slept most of the day Saturday. I played a little bit of games and then I slept and then I watched some sports ball at the nighttime.
The sports ball?
I watched the sports ball. I watched the Dodger game until the Kings game started, and then I kind of flipped back and forth between the Dodgers and the Kings game, and then went exclusively to the Kings game. I haven't done that in... I haven't watched 2 games in a month, let alone in a day, forever. It was pretty awesome.
That's fair.
But, you know, I didn't just sit around and do nothing all weekend. I went out and saw a concert on Friday night.
Well, luckily for you, you got to do fun things. Some of us had to go to work.
Well, that's where they pay you the big bucks to go into management.
That was hard work.
You get paid for 3 days, but you have to go in for more than that.
It's highway robbery right there.
It's poor life choices is what that is. And the consequences of such. You know, if you had a real job where you actually had to work instead of, you know, just told people what to do and wrote things down on paper, then maybe you'd get paid for all the times that you were at the business place.
How dare you? I don't want to hear it. You're just sad.
You're just a management sellout. It's all you are. The power of the people, man.
Nope.
You're just some bougie scum. keeping the proletariats down, dude, with your fancy cars and houses and things. And food.
Like
your fancy food, all the eating that you do.
I do like to eat.
Oh, it must be nice.
It is nice. I get to brew beer every Friday now. It's my new thing. I have a new fancy beer closet. Everybody's jealous of me at work.
I know, man. You had to kick Harry Potter out of his house so that you can start brewing beer.
Hey, he doesn't own that place. He needed to leave.
He finally got his letter and went to Hogwarts, and now you had the closet under the stairs was open.
Exactly.
Get rid of the stupid wizard smell and so you can brew all your muggle beer.
Yes.
But yeah, so the concert I went to see the amazing Aquabats.
The Aquabats. I've heard about these people.
You've never heard the Aquabats?
I think I probably heard some of their songs. I just can't ever remember them. Not off the top of my head.
They are a group of rock and roll and superheroes to save the day from all of the evils, like Powdered Milkman, who want to come and ruin your fun Saturday mornings while watching cartoons.
That sounds fair. Appreciate by that playing, defense.
Getting in fights and playing ska music. So, You know, I'd seen him a few times over the years. I hadn't seen him for a while. I went to the new location for the House of Blues Anaheim. It used to be in downtown Disney, but I guess they decided that place was too small and too dirty, and so they made a new fancy one down the street. Still on, I guess, technically Disney property, because they used that for the overflow parking, but for Disney. But it's actually, the new place is actually really nice. You weren't standing on top of each other. There was plenty of room. One of the opening bands that played was Two Sisters. They used to live up in Northern California, but they started going to school down here in Southern California. One went to Long Beach and went to San Luis Obispo. And they're pretty much like the White Stripes. I told my buddy that went with me to the concert, I said, they're like a manly version of the White Stripes. You know, not that the two ladies in the band were manly. It was just more of a rip on Jack White and his lack of manliness.
Yes.
But they're actually pretty good. They just need to listen to the NoFX song "Woe on the Woes," because they had a few songs where there was extended periods of lyrics. It was just them going "Woe, woe, 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 woe," which I guess if you are drunk or can't think of anything else to say, woe works well.
Whoa.
Woe on the woes. You need some more yeah, yeah, yeahs instead of woes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't think so.
No? You're a fan of the woes over the yeah, yeah, yeahs?
I guess so. In the grand spectrum of random noises in songs.
Valid point. And then I didn't know there was a second opening band. I thought it was just them and the Aquabats. And so, much to my surprise, another bunch of musicians appeared on stage. And it wasn't until like pretty much the end of their set that we found out the name of the band. But they went into a ska version of a Depeche Mode song, which I didn't know I needed until I heard that. And I was just like, okay, this is interesting. Are they going to do nothing but cover songs, or are they going to do some of their own music? And sure enough, the next song, another cover song from, and then they did a Duran Duran song. So they did Master and Servant, Controversy, Girls on Film by Duran Duran, Somebody from another Depeche Mode song, Girlfriend in a Coma from the Smiths, Never Let Me Down, Enjoy the Silence, People Are People, Policy of Truth, all Depeche Mode, Last Caress by Metallica, which is an awesome song in both Metallica's version and ska, Send Me an Angel, and Just Can't Get Enough.
Who are these people?
The name of the band? See, just like them, I made you wait until you heard the songs where you heard the band's name. The name of the band? Ska Pesh Mode. They're amazing.
I feel like I came and typed this in right. Oh my god, this is going to be a challenge to find.
Ska Pesh Mode, yeah. So my buddy was saying that he needs to find somebody to marry so that he could hire them as his wedding band.
Oh, really?
My response was, maybe I'll just ask Jody for a divorce and tell her that I plan on immediately remarrying her so we can hire this band at our remarriage. And then some lady standing next to us had to like ruin our fun with a better idea of, why don't you just renew your vows? That makes way too much sense. Shut up and mind your own business. But then finally the Aquabats came out. Mm-hmm. And one of the gimmicks they've been doing for the last, well, I guess now it's been like 10 years, you know, when you're old, 10 years isn't that long, but
yeah,
they have a screen when they perform that has video clips, just random stuff or clips from their TV show, the Aquabats Super Show, that kind of coordinate with the songs they're playing. And this was the first time out of the four or five times that I've seen them since they've done the screen where the screen immediately worked.
Nice.
Well, they were at the beginning of their set. Normally it takes anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes of them fiddling with the screen. or and then finally just kind of giving up on it and starting to play, and then eventually the screen will work.
Yeah, got you. So I'm watching a video of Ska Pesh Mode, and Danny, I can see why everybody needs to listen to this. This is definitely something I could drink a beer to and nod my head drunkenly at a concert.
Yes, it's definitely a fun band that it doesn't take itself seriously, and pretty much anything 80s sounds awesome to ska. I was actually hoping they would do David Bowie, and they kind of started to do one David Bowie song, but they just did like the intro and then they gave up, so it was kind of sad.
Yeah.
But definitely 80s Bowie, you know, the pop dance phase that he went through for about a minute is definitely key to ska sounds. But yeah, I mean, when they first came out, I was looking at them, I was like, all right, did they just throw like a whole bunch of ska like stereotypes into a hat, and then everybody like pulled one out and they had to fit into that? So there was like the dude with the sparkly shirt, the guy with the shiny suit, you know, the big dude with the shaved head and the beard and the cargo shorts.
I mean, the band just looks completely ridiculous. Like there's a giant with a trombone playing. Like, the guy is just ginormic, and he's like has little angel wings on, like you would expect from like from like some little anime girl at an anime show. It's just so funny. It's just like super ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they didn't bust out the angel wings when they performed, but I think from the videos that I did come across them on YouTube, the angel wings were pulled out specifically as they played Send Me an Angel.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately for the lead singer, or fortunately, depending on how he feels about his trombone player, that was the angel that was sent to him.
Exactly. I mean, it's definitely a fun band. I mean, they definitely look like they're out there having a good time, just fucking around and playing. I mean, I couldn't see why, if you love any of those, if you like ska and you like covers, like just fun songs in general from like pop songs, I mean, this is definitely the band to go check out. Overall, message of the story, I would definitely take a listen to Ska Pesh Mode.
Yeah, definitely. I found them on the Facebook. They have a Facebook page, Ska Pesh Mode. It's pretty much the only one there. Nobody's going to steal that name or concept. They've been doing a bunch of shows around here, Orange County, LA area. They're doing a Halloween show in Fullerton, which I would love to go to, except it would probably end like when I have to be at work, so that'll be less fun than it should be.
Yeah, but it's so hard going to work at 2 in the morning.
It's not as fun as it sounds. And if you're thinking it doesn't sound like much fun, it's still not as fun as it sounds.
Are you technically third shift or first shift?
Technically, I'm the first shift. Technically, I'm the first shift because when I get there in the morning, there's a shift that's still working, but that's the shift there from the night before. So the people that I know, I kind of like to fuck with them, and they're like, you know, they're like, well, yeah, have a good night. I'm like, good night. It's morning, man. I'm already on my Wednesday. You're still on your Tuesday. I'm like a goddamn time traveler. They're like, I'm already here for Wednesday. You have to go home and sleep and still come back. You still have Wednesday to look forward to.
They're like, shut the fuck up.
Pretty much, yes. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
So our buddy from Microsoft, Phil Spencer, has been in the news a little bit more often lately than other heads of Xbox have been in the past.
Does he want to talk about loot crates?
Oddly enough, no. I guess he doesn't have a problem with it because he's not a game developer or a gamer per se, but even though they're trying to push him as being a gamer, like, you know, there's that subreddit, one of the kids or whatever.
One of the kids.
You know? And so it's like they're trying to push him as like being one of us, because there was an article written about how he's a hardcore Destiny player.
I mean, I'm a hardcore Destiny player.
I don't know about hardcore, but yeah, you dabble in Destiny. Not compared to Phil Spencer. I don't think anybody is hardcore as Phil Spencer, according to that article. But unfortunately, he has to play on Microsoft. In the article, of course, they did that thing. It's like, yeah, you know, he always has a fire team open. So if you come across him, jump on in. That seems toxic and lethal for his fun times if just random people are invited to jump in.
Yeah. And
talk all the shit they want to Phil Spencer because they're in his fire team.
Yeah.
But then again, I guess he has the... He probably has the banhammer button like right in front of him the whole time.
He's just like
the giant.
He's got his laptop ready. Oh, this gamer tag needs to go to be destroyed.
See, I was thinking more like that those old Staples commercials with that giant easy button, and he just like instead of saying easy, it says banhammer, and he just slams it whenever somebody does anything, and it's hooked up to the servers at Microsoft.
That's a good point.
It's an immediate banhammer, so he doesn't have to like. Aim. He just like reaches in the general vicinity and he hits it because it's so large.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, so in addition to them saying that, yeah, you know, yeah, Phil Spencer plays games. He's a cool kid, right? You know, he's been pushing for more cross-platform between PlayStation and Sony. I mean, PlayStation and Microsoft because PlayStation and Sony have all sorts of cross-platform play because they're the same company.
Yes, they do.
So he's already, if he was pushing between PlayStation and Sony, he's already accomplished that mission because that's locked in.
Super locked in. Good job, Spencer. You're all right.
Spencer, you united Sony and PlayStation under one roof. He needs to like rent an aircraft carrier and get a giant banner, mission accomplished. Maybe the one George Bush used is still available. but so he's, you know, pushing cross-platform, and he's kind of came out talking about how he hates console exclusives, which came shortly after Xbox announced that they locked in PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds and Cuphead as my Xbox exclusives that PlayStation isn't going to get either of them. And so those were two of the biggest games that were coming to the console before the end of the year. You know, a lot of people are looking forward to PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Like, they have they're passing all sorts of records as far as, like, concurrent Steam users.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, passing up or catching up to games that are available both on Steam and all consoles. And by all consoles, I mean, you know, the Xbox and the PlayStation, because nobody really cares about the Switch.
No, nobody does. He's probably just like, I'm just trying to, we're just trying to compete, you know? Like, this is like PlayStation has all sorts of exclusives. Like, if we don't have exclusives, we won't make the money.
But then for you to come out, it's like, yeah, check out these awesome exclusives we got. Oh, by the way, I really hate exclusives, and I wish that we didn't have to do them, but we're doing them anyways. You have to play the game.
Yeah, we are.
So I wonder, you know, those two topics, the, you know, them getting player, especially PlayerUnknown Battleground, and then him coming out saying how he hates exclusives, if that's just kind of some sort of like Jedi mind trick trying to get Sony executives to want to come and talk to them and maybe at least try out the cross-platform play on that game and see how it works out on others. Because I know there was the game Fortnite that launched and they accidentally left some sort of a button on or something that in the programming that allowed cross-platform play. So it's possible. It's not like it takes a lot of work because they realized they left it on and they went and just kind of turned it off and it was done. So it didn't take them. It wasn't like it took them weeks or months. It took them just a day or two to figure it out and turn it off. So that'd be kind of cool if you can get more, you know, for any game, especially like PlayerUnknown Battleground or Fortnite, where it's all like based on as many people as possible in the game to make it better. You know, cross-platform activity would be pretty awesome and encourage more people to buy the game, even if they necessarily weren't planning on playing it. They're just like, oh my god, dude, check out all these cool people playing.
Yeah.
This cool game that you can, you know, you don't have to buy a new console for it.
That's the dream.
It is the dream.
No more consoles.
Or just buy one console. But you know what though, like a few years ago, before Phil Spencer took over, you know, when Xbox had their E3 and they basically just talked about how you could watch TV on it and how you could use it as a home gym and how you could do everything else but game on it.
Yeah.
They also kind of talked about how you would have to be, you know, online all the time.
Yeah.
Which pretty much all that stuff got scrapped, and then they hired Phil Spencer. I think they took that dude out back and just shot him and turned him into dog food or glue or whatever it is they do with lame horses.
Jeez. But you know,
I picked up a couple new games for the PlayStation, and I have the launch version. And god damn it, dude, like every time I put a new game in, I have to like delete stuff, and it's why do they come out with, in this generation where they want you to like go more digital, or you know, and you have to install all the games onto the hard drive? Why did the starting systems all have tiny little hard drives, man? That's just pissing me off right now.
Yeah, you know, you could just get an external hard drive, so you don't have to worry about this. It's cool.
I've already bought the console. Why do I have to buy more shit? If I'm going to buy an external hard drive, I might as well just buy the 1 terabyte console, like the like the new Battlefront 2 exclusive special edition PlayStation 4 console that looks pretty badass, actually.
That's a fair point.
But or I could just have the one that I want and play the games that I want to play on it.
Yeah. Don't be so. Tell me how you really feel about these small, inadequate. Jesus, there goes my rage against you.
if you can't say the words, you can't be the angry.
You can always be the angry. It doesn't matter.
True, I have been on the internet before. There's a lot of times where people completely spelt words or said things wrong, and they were still the angry and tried to express the anger.
Exactly. I don't know. But have you read YouTube comments?
Yes, I've gotten migraines and a little bit. It's like that Billy Madison, you know, we're all now dumber for reading your comment.
Yes, that is correct.
You know, as you alluded to in the beginning of the episode,
Nazis.
It's Nazi time.
Woo!
We're Nazis for Nazis. So, there's a new Wolfenstein game coming out pretty soon. October 27th, it launches.
Hey, Danny, isn't it funny when we write a story about America killing Nazis? Like, it's just gone on forever since video games ever were created. There's always been America versus Nazis.
Exactly. You know, it's like, especially in the Wolfenstein series, I don't think there is one Wolfenstein game where you don't at least shoot one Nazi in the face. And even Doom, like, you fought, like, aliens, and somehow those in one of the games, at least, the aliens had swastikas on them, so it's like, why not? I want to shoot Nazis and aliens. Go right ahead.
Exactly.
So basically, like, the premise of the new Wolfenstein game is, basically, it's a what if. What if we lost World War II to Germany? So, you know, it's a mix, like, Fallout 2 style with the retro artwork and the retro stylization. But it's, instead of being an America the way we know it, it's Nazi America. And so you play as a guy that's part of the resistance, mm-hmm. fighting the Nazis to get them out of the country. And so, you know, as the game is getting closer to launch, apparently the quote-unquote new Nazis, I don't even want to call them neo-Nazis, because the neo-Nazis were like in the 80s or the 70s or whenever. I don't know. I don't know how you can have neo-Nazis if they haven't gone away. Like, it's like, say you're back again, but you've never left. But, you know, I guess the cool kids want to call them the alt-right or the alt-reich. But I guess their little panties aren't a bunch talking about how it's uncool of them showing the people killing Nazis, because then they might want to kill the Nazis that are in real life. And again, like we said, this isn't a new thing. It's not like Wolfenstein creators decided 6 months ago to make a game. And you know what would be cool? If you shot Nazis. And so in response to their outrage of Nazis being shot and killed in this game, did they issue an apology?
No,
they didn't. They issued a tweet that says, in giant, it's a giant red background in white writing, says, if you are a Nazi, and then they do a little quick shot from the game where the main character goes up and just socks the Nazi in the face, and then it says, GTFO.
Get the fuck out.
So, you know, I'm sure, as you can imagine, all the people that were upset about all the trailers and the idea of the gameplay before were like, you know, you make a valid point. We should go leave this country.
No.
You would be sadly, you know, that would be pretty awesome, but no, that didn't happen. No. Instead.
No.
It just made them even more triggered. apparently Nazis are snowflakes too.
Everybody's a snowflake when they're attacked.
Except the Nazi snowflakes aren't like the normal snowflake. They just look like twin lightning bolts next to each other in a pattern of S's. They're the SS snowflakes.
But it's just so funny to think, like, that, like, this game that's always been going after Nazis in their gameplay, and it's just, that's the era, and that's the time, and those are the stories they make, and it's just funny to people like, oh, well, of course they're releasing a game now, they're going after, it's just like, wow, like, seriously, wow, like, this is where we're going with this.
I don't think this is where we're going. I think this is where it went. It's already gone
it's
there.
It's happened.
It's already been brought in.
It's already been brought. Good job, buddy. Enjoy your reference.
Yeah, I hope somebody else does, because I know I did. I don't know. I don't care if you did.
That's fair.
But I mean, it'd be like if they made like another Fallout, and then all of a sudden somebody got upset that there's a nuclear bomb that goes off in the Fallout, in a Fallout game, not in the Fallout games, but it's like, oh my god, the new, like if it's like Fallout California or something like that, like the, it's rumored or wherever the next location of the Fallout game is, there's a new, and then someone's like, the conservatives are bombing, wanted, or made this game because they're showing how they want to nuke California. And it's like, every Fallout game has a nuclear bomb go off in it. That's kind of the point of the game.
Yeah. They just they don't want to understand how it got there. They just want to ignore it, that piece of it.
Right, and it's not like, you know, this game took, like I said, it's not like they just came up with this game 6 months ago and made it. I mean, this game's been being made for a couple years now, you know. Games take longer than you think they do to make. And you can't just, especially a AAA game like this, you can't just throw it together in a couple months. It's not like that stuff happened in Charleston or whatever southern state it was where the Nazis showed up and shenanigans occurred. It wasn't like that happened and then, you know, they're like, hey, we should make a game where you go and punch Nazis and make sure we release it before Halloween.
Pretty much. No, that's not what happened. Silly people.
Yeah, according to according to the developer, they started writing the script in 2014. So, unless they have some sort of Nostradamus writing staff, or they just, you know, basically wrote the same kind of, like you said, the same story of dudes fighting Nazis that they have since the beginning of the Wolfenstein franchise. So, I'm just hoping that maybe the Nazi anger will give more sales for this game and make it do better. That would be pretty awesome.
Maybe. Even I'm looking at getting this fantastic. The game does look fun to play. Like, I remember we were talking, like, I literally just watched the trailer of Wolfenstein, because I was just like, Like, it just, like, a video starts playing, and I'm like, this looks interesting. Okay, we're killing Nazis. I'm alright with this. I mean, I like guns. I like heads exploding with blood going all over the place. This seems pretty solid, and it's like, Wolfenstein 2. I was like, oh, maybe I will get this game. This is very good. And then we started talking about all this dilemma, and I'm like, now I feel like more inclined to buy it.
Right. I mean, even at the E3 demo, I mean, the game looked pretty good then, and what they talked about it and stuff and showed more than they do in the trailer. It looked really good, and you know, if you buy in this game pisses off a Nazi, do your part for America. that should be like their print ad as like the Saturday or Friday or Saturday before the game comes out, you know. Piss off a Nazi, buy our game.
Fair enough.
Actually, they would have to make it, I guess, more modern, and it should be trigger a Nazi, buy our game.
that is the more current term at this time, trigger.
And then you can do like different variants on that, and just have some dude, like the quote unquote new Nazi look, you know, white dude with glasses and a polo. Are you buying that game? I'm triggered.
Triggered.
Speaking of triggered, I guess Activision is trying to make itself the most hated gaming company in the world.
Come on, please don't tell me EA is going to put their beer down.
I don't know, man. Like, Activision's stepping it up, dude. They're definitely challenging. They've thrown down the gauntlet on trying to be the most hated game. So it recently came out that they had a patent approved on October 17th that they filed back in 2015 for a change in matchmaking for video game and microtransactions. So basically, the patent shows that they're going to have a system where they would put people who bought guns or new players, like they would put people who bought guns in favorable battles with that gun. So if they knew, like, if it's like there's a lot of sniping lanes and you bought a sniper rifle, you'll get this, like those kind of maps a lot. Or if you bought a shotgun, they'll put you in maps where there's a lot of narrow corridors and smaller, you know, walk pads. But then they also talked about how they would put newer players in a game with somebody who's like KD ratio is, you know, really high, that's actually bought guns.
Yeah.
And so then, like, if you're a new player and it's like, oh man, that guy's gun is awesome, I'm gonna have to go buy that gun because I want to be awesome like that guy.
Wow. Well.
So. You know, they came out, they're trying to do a little bit of damage control in the last 24 hours, and they talked about how that patent wasn't filed by their game developers. It was filed by a different branch, and that was just kind of an exploratory patent to see if they can get it approved. And they're not really sure if they're going to use. They don't have any plans to use it.
Why?
And go ahead.
Why do you need to patent something like that?
So I don't know. I guess so that EA can't
do it.
Have somebody hold their beer and do it even better. Or if they do, then Microsoft Activision will get money from them.
Fair enough.
It's like microtransaction amongst the game companies.
Nice.
But
makes sense.
But you know, a lot they're like. When they came out and made their statement, I guess the questions they were asked were kind of poorly worded, I guess, because they were they weren't asking about future games; they're asking about current games. Like they asked if it's in Destiny 2, and they're like, "Oh no, this isn't in Destiny 2 right now." And the way they answered the question is like, "Oh no, it's not there right now." But there was a couple other games they were asked about that it wasn't in right now, but nobody asked, well, when are you? Do you have any plans to put it in any future games? And if so, which game? Because that would be the question you want to ask, right?
Exactly.
What happens when the next expansion of Destiny comes out, and all of a sudden that's in there, and you know, we start getting paired up with people who bought this awesome gear, so that they're trying to hope to get the sheeples to buy even more to buy it, so they can compete.
All I have to say, if they do that in Destiny 2, is good luck, Scrubs. I'm going to still kill you and teabag you. You got nothing on this.
Exactly. And you know, like, talking with one of my buddies, and you know, we're talking about how you know, games probably should cost more than $60 for how much they cost to make and advertise and everything, all the work that goes, all the money that goes into making them. And I was reading an article today about how Dead Space 2, well, it was considered, I guess, as far as sales numbers, number of units sold, was considered a success, actually lost money.
Wow.
Just because of the sheer cost of making the game, you know, because games are, they're costing as much as movies are to make. Yeah. And there's definitely not as many people buying, you know, even at $60, like Wolfenstein 2, you know, that game probably cost close to $100 million, if not more, to make. And so for them to make, you know, at $60 a pop, you know, you're going to have to definitely sell a lot more than 2 million or 4 million.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get for, you know, games, especially the AAA games, to make their money back. So, I mean, unless they, so, you know, I guess, unless they're either going to have to universally raise the price of games across the board up to, you know, $80 or $100. And then or they're going to allow microtransactions for the people that don't mind spending a little bit more money. And for the people that don't want to pay for the microtransactions, they're just going to have to grind through or just get good.
Get good, scrub. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, movie prices have gone up over the years. I think video games, when was the last jump? Was it during the 360 era that it went up to $60?
It jumped between when the new generations came out, because it was pretty much like $50 to $60 was the normal price for games on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and then like $60 became the new normal. $60 to $70 basically became the new normal for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, it wasn't that much of a jump. But the graphics and the demand of the graphics and how much work has to go into making those graphics, you know, it probably could have gone up more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it just costs a lot for these games. I mean, you have to think they're a business and they're trying to make money. So, I mean, like I said, as long as loot packages only affect like cosmetic stuff, like I don't care about it. I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's not changing the game, and I can see why people are getting angry when it does. Like, you want. If you can never get the super powerful gun until you buy it, and then when you do buy it, you get to go like on the perfect shooting spree. Like, I mean, yeah, that sucks. It's not fun.
Right.
It's not fun for. Well, I guess it's fun for the people that have the money to do that and don't care. But I mean, that's got to be those people that are like, oh, I don't know about this game. I think maybe I'll just buy this special package for an extra $10. And then, oh, I'm having fun because I'm literally blowing the heads off of other noobs because we're in a special map and I'm having fun. And then later it's like, all right, I'm done. So they played their 30 hours and they got more money out of it because of it.
Right. But, and then, you know, like you said, they're going through and, you know, wrecking all the noobs. And then the noobs are like, oh man, this guy's wrecking everybody. I want to see what this guy's gear, and they look and see this guy's gear, and they're like, "Oh, he has this gun. Oh, I can buy this gun for $10. And if I buy this gun for $10, then I can go through and wreck noobs too. Guess what I'm doing."
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So,
And I guess I could see the other thing is you know, if the game, like the guns or whatever, if they're only locked behind. A paywall, you know, like that awesome gun, the only way to get it is to buy it. I guess that's kind of bullshit because, you know, some people just want to grind and they want to pray to RNGesus every time.
Their religion is RNGesus.
Forgive me, RNGesus, for I have sinned.
Yes, that is a salty world to live in.
The saltiest. And so, and you know, after the beta for Battlefront 2, even EA kind of came out and did some damage control with all the anger about their the cards and the cash loot boxes and some of the, you know, OP cards that they had. And they said that the best, the top tier cards aren't going to be locked behind cash. They're going to be RNGesus only. So I don't know if that's something to appease the anger of the people out there, or if that just kind of makes them even, you know, just as angry, except they don't have to, you know, pay for it. They just have to put in time and the grind, kind of like in Destiny 2 with the emotes and the shaders and stuff. You can either just, you know, keep playing and hope you get the thing you want, or you can put money into it and definitely get the thing you want a lot faster.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is what it is, and I think it's just, you don't want to pay more, then don't pay more. I mean, the only way you get people to pay for more stuff is you got to give them something for it. So that's just how business works. It's nice that they're not going to give them the best things in the world, but I mean, you can't blame them for kind of throwing a decent piece of a gun or a decent car or a decent this to get people to buy those right away.
Right. And even like the experience up cards in a way are pretty OP if you can just pay for them. Like if there's, you know, if there's a high multiplier on an experience card, because, you know, if you have a 5-time experience card, then you'll be getting, you know, the random crates 5 times as fast as somebody who didn't want to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which can lead you to getting the best card. So in a way, like, I guess indirectly, if there's, you know, experience boost cards in the locked behind money, or at least available to be paid for with real money, then that's kind of, I guess, a workaround for them saying that, oh, no, you can't use money to get the best cards, but you can use money to get a card to get the best cards. But I still like that the spokesperson for all the anger of all the microtransactions and just the money gouging from video game manufacturers always has about the last minute or so of his video talking about giving money to him and his Patreon. These video game manufacturers are bleeding us dry with all this money. How dare they make us give them money? So if you like this content, please click the link below and give money to my Patreon. It'll help me make more content where I complain about other companies forcing you to give them money to get content that you want to see. I mean, not me. You can still see it without paying, I guess, but if you want to pay and get more content, wait, are you saying that your YouTube videos are loot crates?
Maybe we can watch the episode with him in a tutu instead.
Exactly. Like if I don't want to give you money, then I can still watch it, but if I want to get more content, then I have to give you money. Or somebody has to give you money. That seems pretty loot crate-y to me. He's a phony. He's a big fat phony.
There's always loot crates. We're gonna come up with loot crates. That's what it is, Danny. We're missing out. We need to make loot crates.
Well, we need to figure out stuff to put in it, because obviously nobody wants any of our swag.
I'll draw some stuff. I'll draw stuff.
You'll draw stuff?
With crayon.
With crayon?
Well, yeah, it'll look fantastic.
We should just do like a Patreon and like have like the $5 level be like something drawn, like randomly drawn by you or me, and then like the $10 like drawn by somebody who knows how to draw a little bit better, and then at some point, like if you want to get something super awesome and fancy.
Yeah, I'll give you a random shirt out of my closet. It's totally not out of the box of stuff I'm trying to get rid of, I swear. It's real good.
that's a great idea. We have a Patreon, and it's like at the $5 level, you get something random from your like donation box that's never going to be taken to donate, so you'll just mail it out to them instead.
Just what I always wanted, a sock with a hole in it. A dress sock with a hole in it.
Wait, you have socks in your donation box? That's gross. Like, throw that away, man. Put real stuff in there. Like socks and underwear don't go in there, but shirts with holes in it is okay. Just not socks with holes.
Gotcha. I didn't know what kind of level we were going with.
Well, I mean, it's stuff that you would want, like, to touch.
Hey, there's people like feet.
No one wants your crunchy socks.
Hey, nobody. We're not in high school anymore. There's no such thing as crunchy socks.
As far as you tell the people, right? Speaking of people drawing things and asking for money, our good former friend, not friend of the show, because he forgot us long before the show came out, but our good former friend Jamie Tindall.
Hey, I kind of remember that guy.
He doesn't remember us at all, so it's okay. I remember when he was at Frankenstein's, and then he went to like the first con, and he was like, "Hey, I remember you guys. I'm at my first con." We're like, "Congratulations!" And he's like, "I'm so happy. This is my wife, and we're so happy." And then like a couple cons later, we were like, "Hey, Jamie, how you doing?" He's like, "Wait, how do you know my name?"
Security.
Security. Yes. Can you get a 50-foot perimeter between me and these two right here? But he just launched a Kickstarter to do to reprint his couple of his old art books and a few new. He's gonna do a few new art books because he has so much new art to be booked.
That's all it is an art book.
There's like five art books total, or five or six art books total that are gonna be done. Yes. But there's one that the biggest the highest priced tier is $900.
Wow.
And you get two art books of your choice and a full body 11x17 commission sketch done by him and pencil and pen.
Will it take like color. 6 months to do?
Well, as long as he delivers it at some point, he's still beating your buddy Buzz. And even if he does it in 6 months, he's still ahead of the commission that I got hired for at WonderCon, in the end of March. So yeah, so 6 months seems to be about the average time. So that doesn't seem too bad. Like if you said 6 years or even 2 years, that would be different. But 6 months, I'd be happy getting it done in 6 months because it is Kickstarter after all.
That's fair.
Six months is like speedy service.
Oh man.
So as you mentioned earlier.
We already talked about Nazis. What else did I mention about?
Brewing beers. Kicking Harry Potter out.
Oh, I do. That is true. That is a thing.
And I've been talking to you, trying to get you to find a local home brewers guild out there to, both have other people that know what they're doing try your beers other than, just random drunk people. And they're like, "Yeah, man, this is pretty good. I'll get drunk off this."
I think I'm still at the stage where like I just started rebrewing again and I gotta taste it before I start taking it to other people to try, because I don't want to just take like random stuff out there and then just going, "This is terrible." I take a drink and I'm just like, "It is. Why did I come here? How can I disappear quickly?"
But generally, unless they're assholes, I guess that would be the test. If they're just like, "Your beer sucks, scrub, go home." Or like, "You know what? Maybe if you tried this instead." That, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Constructive criticism as opposed to salty criticism.
True. That's fair.
But so Stone has been working with a home brewers group for about the last 10 years. This year's contest is coming up on November 11th.
Okay.
And so basically, they have a bunch. You have a bunch of homebrewers show up, and you can pay to like join the guild, and you get to try the beers, and you get to vote on the winner. And the winner has their beer actually brewed and distributed by Stone.
That's pretty badass. Like to get your beer, your micro beer, made and whatnot. So, I guess I'm gonna have to start. I gotta get good quick.
You do.
Yeah. You know what the best thing is I've left. I left the noob status. I stopped. I did two beers with extract, and now I'm full grain, baby. Full grain. No extract.
Nice.
Yes.
Just hope it doesn't explode again, like the pineapple did.
You know what? I'm proud of that, so I don't care what anybody says. I'm very happy that my beer was so bubbly with CO2 that it exploded.
Well, as long as it still has flavor, that's all that matters. I mean, it can have all the CO2 it wants. I mean, soda water has CO2 in it. It needs to have flavor.
We'll see next Thursday.
See how your IBUs and your ABVs and all your other fancy acronyms. See how they measure up.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm very excited. I definitely have some fun recipes going on, and we have I got some. I'm going to be brewing some more. I have some plenty of more ideas. My big plan is to make a big is try to get a Christmas ale tested, and then try to brew a 5-gallon batch and fill a bunch of bombers and send that out as Christmas presents. I mean, federal government, I'm going to walk it to people over cross lines and do it safely.
Exactly. You'll deliver it. You'll jump in your Mazda 6 and kill it before you buy your Miata and hand deliver all of your homebrewed beer as Christmas presents dressed like Santa Claus.
Exactly. I'll just be like, it'll be like clink, 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 clink. It'll sound like Danny's trash can after a weekend without Joni. And I'll be walking around, and people, all the adults will be smiling, running, and going, Santa Sean, Santa Sean.
As long as the kids aren't running to you.
Me too. I don't need that.
Get the fuck away from me, kids. You bother me. You're gross. So, yeah, last year, and it's kind of cool, too, they released the beer as a seasonal for this time of year. To kind of lead up to the last year's winner is released, but like, and leading up to this year's contest, almost as like a way of, hey, the contest is coming up, time to get excited again.
Exactly.
So last year's beer, so that was the year before his winner, was like a carrot cake beer, which
I don't know.
Like, you know what? I heard that and I thought it was pretty bad too. Like it was a bad idea, but I just happened to go down to Stone Brewery and do the tour, and that was the beer that was off, one of the beers that was offered at the end of the tour. I don't know if I could drink, I could, of that one, I don't think I could have drank necessarily a big full bottle of it, but, you know, and like a half pint, it was, and even just a little 2-ounce pour, it was a pretty tasty beer. Like, it wasn't overly sweet, you could taste the cinnamon, you know, it was really good, actually.
Nice.
And then this year's beer, last year's winner, is called Neapolitan Dynamite. So it's a coffee beer, but it had strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate flavors.
Danny already loves it. He heard coffee and beer in the same sentence.
Our good friend of the show, Dave Wagner from Hop Problems and Dot Problems, posted on Facebook while I was out visiting you that he drank his and it was delicious. And so I, replied to him on the Facebook that I had a bottle in my fridge, and he said, drink it now. And I was like, I'm stuck in Ohio. And he's like, sucks to be you. And I said, agreed.
You know, you could have just brought it out here, Danny, you dick.
I was going to bring out other things, but then you told me to bring out my PlayStation. So I didn't have room for alcohol and PlayStation.
You know what? That just sounds like you're a quitter, and nobody likes quitters, Danny.
Exactly. I guess I could, with that attitude, it didn't fit because I had the wrong attitude.
Exactly. You have yourself but to blame.
When I got home, it was like the first beer that I had when I got home, though. And it was actually pretty cool because as you poured it, you could smell like some of the strawberry a little bit, just because that was kind of the more, I guess, overpowering of the different flavors that would have the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was pouring it, I mean, I don't know if it was just my imagination, but I could see some of the foam had a little bit of a red tint to it. And so, you know, as I drank it, I could get a little bit of the different flavors. It tasted like when you have a banana split and all the ice cream and the flavors, the sauces, the vanilla sauce, the hot fudge are all melted at the bottom and you are getting that out of the bottom of the bowl. That's pretty much what it tasted like.
Nice.
It was definitely a very good. I mean, it's not something you'd want to drink as you're eating dinner, but definitely, you know, if you want a dessert beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you want dessert or beer? Why not both?
Why? Dude, that's your life story. Why not both? Anything can go with a beer. I need a coffee and I want a beer. Why not both? I want dessert and both? I want a beer. I want both.
Exactly. It's multitasking.
I want whiskey and I want a beer. Why not both?
Exactly. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a great multitasker.
The best.
And so, you know, you made the comment about your bag of clanging bottles would sound like me after a weekend home alone with Jody.
I meant with when Jody's gone.
I know. Well, I meant a home alone with Jody gone. Yes.
Gotcha.
So, unfortunately, you know, I decided I got a little ambitious with my beer choice this weekend, and I decided to open up the one last bottle I had from the brewery, right?
Yep.
And it's their white chocolate. It's an ale brewed with cocoa nibs, and it's and barrel aged. And you know, you pour it, and you can smell the bourbon. It's just like almost nauseatingly strong of how of the bourbon smell. But when you drink it, it's just so smooth and so chocolatey. But the problem is the insane size of the brewery bottles. They everything that they bottle is basically bottled in wine bottles.
And they're like really high alcohol content.
It's like 15 to 20% alcohol, yes.
So you're basically at the end of the bottle, you're gone. You don't even know what happened. It's like when you wake up from beer fest and you kill the deer and you're naked and you're just asking why.
You at that point you're officially a time traveler because you remember at one point and then you remember now and you don't remember in the middle, so you must have just leaped forward in time. So yeah, I mean it's no small undertaking to drink a beer, a bottle of beer from the brewery, you know, unless you have a friend or two to share it with you. So fortunately for people like me, they announced that they're doing a beta test, basically, of changing the size of their bottles.
Yay, we're doing it to where it's non-alcoholic version. Where, I guess that's not the right term, but it is the right term. Non-alcoholic way.
No, I mean, you can still be an alcoholic. You just have to open more bottles. They're more portable.
Exactly. And make it so you could have one at night and go to bed very quickly, or you could get shit-faced by having multiple bottles.
Exactly. They make the choice yours as opposed to there being no choice. It's like, shit, I opened this bottle and now I have to drink the whole thing. Well, I guess I'm not getting anything else done today. So, yeah, so they're going basically from the wine bottle size down to 375 milliliter, which is basically a 12-ounce bottle. Jeez. A little over 12 ounces. So it's not a subtle size change. And so there's already a few bottles that are getting ready to hit the market, going to test it. Hopefully they don't put shitty beer in it that nobody wants and, like, sabotage the program where it's like, oh, well, see, nobody wanted it. We're not going to do that because it's going to cost them a lot of money. They're going to have to basically retool their whole bottling line because everything's sized and programmed to fill wine bottles. And so it's not going to be necessarily a small, easy task. It's going to cost them a little bit of money and time. But in my humble opinion, as the internet says, I hope they do that because I would like to drink more of their beers and not have to like plan my whole afternoon around it.
Yeah. No. Nah, bro.
Because they just came out with a new one, the white chocolate that I had, but they made a cherry variant, which actually sounds pretty delicious, and I would like to buy that and drink it, but I know in the wine bottle size, I'm not getting anything else done. I'm just going to make sure it's relatively early in the evening. I can't drink it too late because I'm not going to be able to finish it. And, you know, it's like NyQuil. I can't be too far from someplace where I can just lay down and fall asleep.
Hmm. Fair enough.
And so, you know, the brewery's not the only one that's kind of changing how they, I guess, package their beers for distribution. There's a lot more breweries, especially microbreweries, that are starting to can beers, which actually is a pretty good thing because, you know, people want to take their beers outside of the house. They don't want to just be forced to stay home or at the brewery. They want to be able to go like to the beach or a park or a tailgate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And some, you know, not everybody's smart enough like we are where they just hide the bottles in the ice chest and fill it in the car and then have a cup instead of carrying the bottle around, as we saw when we were at the couple football games we went to where people were just walking in front of the cops with the bottle and the cops have to tell them, dude, are you stupid? Get rid of that. I'm like right here. At least try to be subtle about it.
Nobody is that subtle.
And so, you know, there's all sorts of like debates about whether or not craft breweries should be canning beers or not be canning beers. What what version is better as far for keeping beer fresh or for people's health, because you know there's a lot of reading different articles talking about how they the BPA that is banned for like baby bottles and water bottles, but that's used to stop to basically they put that as a barrier between the liquid and the can so that the liquid doesn't take on the flavor and taste characteristics of the aluminum. Yeah. And another one is diacetyl, which basically like it's also known as the term causes a thing called popcorn lung for people that work in like popcorn factories.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of unless you're like pounding like a bunch of beers a day, like more than Nicolas Cage amount and leaving Las Vegas, probably wouldn't have a problem, but it also like changes the flavor and texture of the beer. So it'll, if you, open a can of beer and it tastes buttery and just kind of has a weird, like slick, if your mouth has like an oil slicky feel to it after you take a drink, then that's like a sign that the beer has gone bad. So, there's different, beers that, different side effects between like having dirty like lines in their filling system or them not getting the lid on the beer in time and some bad bacteria from the air gets into the can and it just basically continues to causes the beer to ferment in a different way than they wanted to.
That's no good.
So a lot of the breweries can't afford their own canning line. So there's companies that basically have a small little canning line in a van, a portable canner, and they'll go to the breweries and they'll charge so much per number of cans.
Mm-hmm.
And the concern there is, how well is their system upkept? How well are they cleaning it? Because they can, the stuff you see could be clean, but you might not see behind the scenes might not be that as clean.
Yeah.
So, as of now, a lot of the bigger breweries are doing it with success. It's just some of the smaller breweries, especially the ones that are kind of unsure whether they want to make it as a mainstay for their beer deliveries services.
Yeah.
But as someone that drinks beer, by the pool or, at different public events, cans aren't necessarily a bad thing. Having more options other than just, the standard big breweries type beers of Budweiser and all that. And you wouldn't have to hide in your car. You can actually hold the can out in a koozie and look like all the other cool kids.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely. I know Charger Stadium was really cracking down back in San Diego. This is how long ago it was. But they were cracking down on glass in the parking lot and stuff. So there's it definitely makes sense to have a canned version. I guess it's just, can you have that same fresh taste in a can versus a glass?
Right. And so, there's a lot of, reading the articles, it's talking about how cans are more recyclable, cans are cheaper, cans are easier to, lighter, so they're cheaper to transport across the country. So, there's definitely pros and cons for the breweries, and it's something that a lot of them are jumping on the bandwagon for. And I can't remember the name of the brewery, but one of the head brewer did an article for a beer magazine kind of basically talking about how canned beer is the tool of the devil.
Why do you say that?
I don't remember exactly, but basically he just kind of sounded like a bitter old man that was afraid of change. And thus, of course, everybody starts dying from canned beer, which if they had, then people would have been dying for a long time because that's all there was for the longest of times.
Yeah, I guess that's the biggest thing though, is just how fresh the beer can stay, and does the aluminum, does glass just not give it a awkward flavor compared to the tin can flavor? So it's hard to say.
Right. And I know like one of the things that affects beer is light getting into the beer, like whether it's your refrigerator light or the lights at the store, cause when they're, sitting there to be sold, they're sitting in a cooler, but they have the light, fluorescent light shining on them the whole time. So, they always advise if you buy a beer, try to stick to beers that are in darker bottles, like non-clear bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how the can lets in zero light compared to even the dark bottles that lets in some percentage of light.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you are in a fight, though, it's easier to have a it's easier to break a bottle and have a a glass knife versus the can, though.
Yeah, I mean, you just throw it at them, I guess, or crush it on their forehead.
That's true.
Or I guess if you're going to get into a fight, you crush it on your own forehead and they'll think you're crazy and leave you alone.
And you go home with a splitting headache and a fat cut on your head.
Or you're like, you know, David Blaine it, and as you're crushing it on your hand, you squeeze it with your thumb and middle finger so that it makes it crush a lot easier.
Not everybody's going to think that way, Danny, when after a few beers.
Then they deserve to get their ass kicked, or at least the head of their own stupidity of crushing a beer can on their forehead. And that whole broken bottle knife thing is probably a very large reason as why football stadiums that are rivals of the Raiders don't allow glass bottles in the parking lot.
Oh, man. The Las Vegas Raiders.
Las Vegas Raiders. Hopefully they start, when they move to Las Vegas, they start winning like the Las Vegas Knights, the hockey team there, because they're not doing so good now. They're about as good as the Packers. We're both in the same boat right now.
That's just terrible. At least I'm missing them. Yeah, you still have all your players, though. That's the difference.
Well, for a few games, Derek Carr missed until he was still, I guess he came back too soon. Because we lost to the Chargers. So sad.
Yeah. Los Angeles Superchargers. Los Angeles. It's so hard not to say San Diego. It's really hard. You gotta think about it.
Yeah, I don't know about it, but at least through the first like four games, the announcers for the television, at least one of them at some point, whether it's the sideline reporter or one of them in the studio, at one point during every game, the first four games, somebody said San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
At least once. So more often the first game, but it started tapering off slowly, but still, no one's going to forget. No one forgets.
No one forgets. All right, everybody. That is it for the show. Don't forget, November 4th, Extra Life. Danny and I will be streaming. We will be popping Danny's Raid Cherry as we take him through the raid on Destiny 2. We haven't figured out a time yet. We'll make sure to post that out. Danny and I each have our own links. I guess there'll be some friendly competition to see who could raise the most. But all together, we're looking together to try to raise $200 as a team. That is our commitment to the CHOC, which is the Children's Hospital of Orange County. So we'll throw those out a little bit closer to November 4th, and we'll make sure everybody has a time, and we hope that you guys could come hang out with us for a fun Saturday morning, afternoon, as we game way too much and probably drink way too much as well.
I don't know, man. Drinking way too much is just a state of mind. it's only drinking too much if you think it is.
Fair enough. We'll be playing games and drinking beer to a degree where we feel okay, but other people are probably going to be judge us on thinking it's too much.
Exactly. It's only too much if you're being judged. It's only too much if you're being judged.
Danny, we're always judged.
And that's their problem, not ours.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week.
Have a good week.